How many people watched some football yesterday? Curiosity. How many people have an opinion on who the Final Four should be? How many people think that Florida State should be number one?
Oh no. Oh, definitely not.
It's really easy to choose to choose the best this morning. Not only is it the Christmas season, but we're ACC champs. I know that upsets some of you, but that's okay. You have to be happy for me. We're gonna do some voting in our church this morning. We're gonna do some voting. I'm gonna conduct a poll of sorts. We have to think of who the Final Four should be in football. So we're going to have a vote. I have six models of an ideal church, and six models of an ideal church, and I want you to vote on which one you think is the best one. All right, so before we do that, though, I'm going to conduct a little experiment with a couple of popsicle sticks. This is a popsicle stick. You can't see it in the very back of the church. Popsicle stick is not a very strong item. In fact, I can snap it to you without much trouble at all. The next exhibit is two popsicle sticks. I put those together. I can still snap them off. Not much of a problem. Exhibit 3 is a bunch of popsicle sticks. And if I take all these popsicle sticks and I try to break them, I cannot do that. All right, now, I got this idea about the sticks at Mr. Leo Sacularis' design a few weeks ago. His wonderful daughter gave a presentation in her talk about her father and said that he would do an exercise at the table where he gave every family member a stick and told everyone, break your sticks, and they all could do it. Then he gave them 4 sticks, and he said, now try to break these sticks, and they couldn't do it. And he said that these sticks represent our family. When you put the family together, you try to break the family, you can't do that. But when you put one individual member of the family by themselves, then you can break that person very easily. kind of appropriate today being Stewardship Sunday, because Leo was our stewardship chairman for the first several years that I was here. So I'm thinking of him as I'm offering this today. So, here is the six models of the church. We have the one Christian. The one Christian who just kind of goes on their way and isn't really attached to any community. Right? That's model number one. We'll vote on these again. Model number two is two Christians who go on their way, sort of unattached to anything. Number three model is a bunch of Christians who go together, but the problem with these Christians is that they don't really have any organization. So as time goes by, they somehow become sort of scattered, right? Because they have no organization. So that's a group of Christians without a church to belong to. That's model number three. Right, model number four is the church that's held together, but it's held together by a thread. There's one piece of yarn going around this stack of sticks. If I turn it on its side, probably, and I let go of my grip, probably all the sticks will scatter. If I drop this on the ground, it will probably break. So this is the kind of church that's held together by one thread. This kind of church is held together by many different threads. However, the problem with this church is that there are a lot of individual members who are into their individual things. So you've got one Christian that says, you know, I like Bible study. You've got one that says, I like Goya. Another one says, I come on Tuesday nights to play basketball, which you can do, by the way. We have open night gym at the church. One says, I'm only for the parish council. The other one says, I only show up for Christmas and Easter. All right, so we have this kind of model. And then we have the cohesive model of the church. Tightly wrapped together by many, many pieces of thread. Everyone is in there. We can turn it upside down, right side up, flip it all around, throw it across the church, which I won't do. And the bundle stays together. All right, now, of these six models. One Christian, a local. Two Christians, a bunch of Christians without organization. A church held together by one thread. A church of individuals, or one cohesive church held together by many threads. Which one do you think is the best? How many people vote for anything besides number six? Anybody vote for anything besides this? Okay, good, it's unanimous. Wow, you mean everything in verse 3 by anything. I'm assuming that everybody likes. All right, I have to take that into consideration for future. Now, I think you see the point here. The sticks in the pile are you and me. Everybody's an individual. And left alone against the whole world, trying to go through your whole life with all its ups and downs, its successes and failures, its stresses, all right? And trying to do that as a Christian, you can't do it. That's why Christ made the church for us. Because one person out in the wind trying to find Christianity on their own, it just doesn't happen. And if you have two Christians, just a committed couple of friends, even though they're together, it just doesn't work. Because what about when the two of them go through a period of hard time? Whether this is a friendship we're talking about or a marriage, whatever. What happens when they go through a hard time? They don't make it. And as I said, this group of sticks, it has no organization. There's no structure to it. There's no form. There's no order. And when there's no order, there's chaos. So you take a bunch of people, even well-meaning people, and don't put them together in some way, and you have chaos. Many churches, now, I'm going to say what the thread is. The thread is stewardship. The thread is stewardship. So some churches, they're held together by a thread. They have like a something that works for them. Like maybe a great festival that bails them out money-wise. Or a great choir that makes Sunday pleasant, but the rest of the week not so great. Or a great parish council that's got great ideas, but no one supports them. And so this kind of church that hangs together by a thread, this really is not a healthy church. And this church, where they've got a bunch of individuals, what happens when you stick your head out from the crowd and you say, like, I'm still part of the crowd. I'm still part of the crowd, right? Nothing can harm me if I come only on Christmas and Easter. Well, no. Or I'm only going to come to the festival. I'm part of the group. Nope. All right? So we don't join the whole thing and miss the whole thing and keep ourselves kind of hanging out there, then we can get kind of broken too when life gets hard. And the other thing is that this actually weakens the whole middle. When the rope is wrapped around the middle of the sticks, it's the strongest. When people start kind of going in their own directions, that's when the thing gets weaker. Oh, and one fell. And one person noticed that.
Now, the last model, obviously the healthy one. This is the stewardship, and the more links of rope we wrap around this, the stronger it is. So we have one that's the parish council, one that's the choir, and one that's the altar boys, and the Sunday school, and the Bible study, and the local host, and the community outreach. And what's needed to make all that work? What do we need to have all that work? We gotta have people, and we gotta have people to offer something. We gotta have people to offer something. And that's what makes the church the strongest church. I could take this and try it all day long and break it. I cannot. I defy anyone to try and take this staff and break it. You can't. This is wound so tightly that I can drop it, nothing falls out. Even some people get a little jostled here, but the string is so strong they can quickly be put back into place. Right? This is the ideal church community. This is where we want our church community to go. Okay, the not ideal church community is when Father gives a sermon every Sunday and says, we haven't made our goal yet, please help us. Right, and then people come out and they're like, Father, all he cares about is money. But that's not true. Father cares about your souls and the ministries of our church. I was so thrilled this morning when one of our ministry heads, Arden, the choir director, came up and said something awesome to me. And it wasn't that we're going to have a great liturgy today. And it wasn't the choir's prepared. Because we always have a great church, and the choir is always prepared. She said that 60 or 70 people went yesterday to several nursing homes and sang Christmas carols for people. So a ministry of our church went outside of our church something that nobody knows about and brought joy to dozens and dozens of people, brought Christ to dozens and dozens of people. That's an awesome thing. And I'm hearing about this from our ministries more and more. Our Philotheos after church today is raising money to buy shoes for kids who don't have shoes. That's an awesome thing. That's a wonderful thing. In a couple of weeks, we've got a group of people going to Metropolitan Ministries. And we go there once a month and a couple extra times for the holidays. And we're the first church to pair with the Saturday morning Feed the Hungry campaign. We've been doing it for 3.5 years. I'm so proud to hear that. And about $5,000 or so from our festival is going to go to Life Path Hospice to help people. That's awesome. Now, that wouldn't be possible if we had to count every penny of the festival to keep our doors open. So the fact that we get a little bit ahead, we can give money to charity, and we can do something, we can spread the light of Christ far outside of this community. So, in a moment, we're going to turn to our stewardship forms, and I want you to keep something in mind as we do the stewardship. People ask me, why is the stewardship so much money? Why do we need $470,000 in stewardship? Well, our budget, as you know, if you read the material, is about $890,000, and $250,000 of that is just to keep the buildings here. That's the utilities, the insurance, the maintenance, and then our huge mortgage. Right, so without having a service, a priest, a clerk, or anything, we're $250,000 or so in just to have the building standing here. Right, I know that seems like a lot of money, but you take your house, I have a 2,000 square foot house with 10 foot ceilings, and our electric bill is about $260 a month. Right, so you take that times all the buildings we have, times the high ceilings we have, the utility bill is a lot higher. Right, that's how we get these amounts. Right now, let me say one other thing regarding stewardship, and that is, if we can get stewardship to the point where we don't need the festival for our budget, then we can take the festival money and pay down the school loan, and once that gets paid off, we have a nice new student coming in here to do even more ministries, even more things for ourselves and for the greater community. So the step one is raise the stewardship. Step two, knock the festival out of the budget. Step three, pay the school loan off. Step four, open the gates even more for more and more stewardship, more and more stewards, more and more people receiving the light of Jesus Christ. Right? So your stewardship is very, very important and crucial in that process. Now, whatever you're offering should be a gift of love, and it should also be something of sacrifice for yourself. As I said in the mail out, in the Old Testament, there came a day of the year where everyone passed underneath the staff of the shepherd, Moses. And as people passed underneath, they brought all their belongings, all their cattle, all their cows, all their sheep, all their tents, everything they had. And 10% of them took an off-ramp exit to the temple. And that's how they kept the temple going. God said this is called a tithe. This is the ideal. The ideal is 1 out of 10 of everything we have to go to the temple. Most people, myself included, cannot do that yet. We're working our way there. We made an incremental increase, Lisa and I, when we filled out our form last night. We make an incremental increase every year. And we went from a stewardship of hardly anything when we got married and had hardly anything to now something substantial that represents our thankfulness to God's blessings for us. So however old you are, give something sacrificially, and then every year make an incremental increase. And thank God for another year of life and all the blessings that God gave us. Our stewardship does not reflect the state of our family or our economy. It just goes up every year. We added a child, it didn't matter. We went through a recession, it didn't matter. God multiplies his blessing on us every year. We just kind of give more to God. And the more we give, God gives it all back. Not in material ways, but in other ways, in uncounted ways. So with that, I would like to kick off our stewardship campaign this year by asking our president to come up here. And receive my stewardship pledge, me and Lisa. And I would like to ask Tom and Trevor back there, we have a couple of baskets here. And I would like to ask our parish leadership to come up and make their stewardship offering for the year. So if you are on the parish council or one of the ministry heads, please come up here and place your offering in the basket. And then after that, we'll pass the baskets throughout the church. Everyone please during your forms. Let's see. And then after that, we're going to pray for our whole community as we kick off our stewardship campaign for 2011.